Welcome to the Windsor Golf Hotel and Country Club as we continue our conversations about the continent of Africa. And today we focus on a subject that is very important, the debt trap diplomacy. We all know that many African countries, upon regaining political independence, found themselves as neo-colonial satellite states, which were fundamentally controlled by their former colonizers, so that the French colonies were dependent on France, and their currencies were manipulated by the French Central Bank. The same was true of the British colonies, which were controlled from London. The same was true of the Portuguese, who were controlled from Lisbon. The same was true of the Belgian colonies that were controlled from Brussels. And of course, the same was true of other countries which had the hegemons as their controllers. The net effect of this is that in terms of economic independence, many African countries still find themselves in the doldrums. And when we talk about the doldrums, we mean that they do not control their economies. We mean that their economies are dependent on what has been described over the years. Initially, it was called donor aid. At one time, it was called development aid. It has changed names over the years. And African countries found themselves benefiting, if you may, and I'm using the word benefiting very deliberately, but guardedly so, in a situation where they are entrapped by debt. Debts which are of a bilateral nature, where countries enter into arrangements with individual countries and they are lent money for development and in certain cases even budget support. We have also seen in the recent past the involvement of the Bretton Woods Institution, the IMF, and the World Bank being very present in structuring African economies. And of course, the European Union has also been strong in that regard. And we have also seen the emergence of other countries such as China, which has been very present in terms of supporting African countries, if you may, particularly in the area of infrastructure. But the question that one must ask, with all these aid over the years, with all these loans over the years, why is it that in real terms, African countries are still suffering? African countries find themselves in situations where they cannot support their budgets. African countries find themselves in situations where, when we talk about the statistical growth of the gross domestic product, the quality of the people's lives have not changed. What is the issue? This is the question that we never grapple with. My own view, and this is subject to debate, is that the international economic structure is designed in such a manner that it keeps Africa in a perpetual state of indebtedness. It is never intended that African countries are going to liberate themselves from these chains that have been put on her. Many in the African continent will remember in the 1980s, when the African countries found themselves in the debt trap. During that year, the IMF came up with what was then called the structural adjustment systems. Through the structural adjustment systems, African countries were told, you've got to divest from certain areas. You've got to allow private sector to come in. And which is the private sector that we were talking about? I remember Tanzania's Julius Kambarage Nyerere speaking in the 1960s and 1970s, specifically in 1967, when he came up with the Arusha Declaration. And he told Tanzanians, we are not going to know any real development in our country until the day that we liberate ourselves from the debt trap. I refuse to believe, Mwalimu Nyerere said, that these former colonizers have designed an economic system that is meant to make us free of their control. What they are doing is to ensure that they give us money, and when they give you money, they retain most of the money through their advisors, they retain most of the money through the people who they say are going to support you, and the whole idea is that they benefit their enterprises. Another person who talked about the debt trap was the Zambian Simon Kapwepwe. Kapwepwe said that Africans must be very careful when they gain their political independence. The former colonizers are going to come back as investors, and they are going to come back through the loan system, and they are going to create a debt trap for all African countries. And that is where we find ourselves today in many African countries, caught up in a trap. Where you have to sell your national assets or to lease your national assets. You have to lease your ports. You have to lease your airports. You have to surrender your mines. You have to ensure that you are subservient to these countries, and they have perfected the art. But the question is it possible for African countries to get out of this debt trap? It is not going to be easy, because the architecture that has been put together is designed to ensure that African countries are indebted in perpetuity. Let us look at African countries from different perspectives. Look at most of the former French colonies, whose economies are controlled from the French Central Bank. They are indebted to the European Union. They are indebted to the IMF. Look at the former British colonies. Through the Commonwealth, they are indebted to the British. Through other arrangements, they are indebted to the Germans. They are indebted to the Americans. They are indebted to everybody. And these debts are designed in such a manner that it is impossible to repay them. And when you don't repay them, then, as I've already indicated, progressively your markets are opened for countries, even in areas where you ought to be in control. I was telling a friend of mine that today in many African countries, if you want to see how debt operates and how your economies are opened, when you wake up, you find that you are guarded by a company from Canada, Garda World, which is employing your security. When you want to buy chicken, you buy it from Kentucky Fried Chicken. When you want it to be delivered to your home, it is delivered by Glovo from Spain. When you want to take a cab, it is Uber from the United States of America. When you want to fuel your car, it is a company from Total from France. And all these are structured in such a manner that you cannot escape it. When you want to mine, it is Acacia, or it is another company from different parts of the world. And this African countries find themselves in this space because of the indebtedness. When you are indebted, you are in a trap from which you cannot escape. And these institutions are banks in the nature of Shylock. And Shylock will always have his pound of flesh. Let us examine, for example, the kind of support, budget support, that we receive from the IMF and the World Bank. And look at the individual countries. They come into your country and they tell you, if you want to receive any support from us of a budgetary kind, or indeed of any other kind, these are the things that you are going to do. In other words, these institutions are controlling your ministries of finance. They are controlling your central government. And remember, even in terms of printing our own currency, African countries don't print their currency. And when they don't print their currency, they are not in control of the volume of actual currency that is circulating with those, within those countries. So multilaterally, we find ourselves embroiled and ensnared and, of course, captured by the Bretton Woods institutions, namely the IMF and the World Bank. In the regional sector, the European Union has now become very strong in terms of ensuring that they are present in giving loans. And we, beyond the European Union, we know individually as countries, the United States of America, the Germans are present there, the Italians are present there. And one of the things that is never lost on me is that you see African countries without defining their interests. Right now, in the next few months, they'll be in one time they're in Beijing, they are in Italy, they are in Tokyo, they are in the Emirates. All these are happening with a view to ensuring that Africa is in a perpetual state of debt. And when Africa is in a perpetual state of debt, it means that African countries cannot grow. And if they cannot grow, it means that they can be exploited. And if they are exploited, it means that poverty is entrenched. And I am submitting that one of the greatest problems in the continent of Africa is the debt trap. And this debt trap is the continuation of manipulation. And when I listen to some of the arguments that are being put forth, I'm reminded by some of the statements that African countries made many years ago. Between the 23rd to the 26th day of May 1963, when the African leaders of the day met in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, the 32 of them, they all agreed that if Africa is to grow and grow properly, Africa should have one currency. If Africa is to grow and grow properly, Africa should have one central bank. If Africa is to grow and grow properly, is to ensure that there is value addition to its resources, and they must have an international and financial architecture that they understand, not an architecture that was given birth to in Bretton Woods in the United States and to, into which they were merely grafted. The people did not understand, and what we see today, therefore, is that Africa is trapped from all sides. Debts bilaterally, debts multilaterally, currencies that are weak and dependent on the dollar, so that when the dollar sneezes, all African countries go into the intensive care unit. We must liberate ourselves from that environment. Otherwise, we are sunk. Thank you very much for listening to us as we continue our conversations about the continent of Africa.